So you're here from Chapman Stained Glass?
Right. Established in 1898. You know, I worked in it since I was a boy, 11 years old, pushing a broom, and then learning from the men that worked there, and made my first window to be installed when I was 13.
Wow.
So, so it wasn't a formal apprentice like they used to have in Europe, but it was probably as close as you could get to one in this country at the time, you know, in the early 60s, 70s.
Sure.
Was my time.
So the windows in the sanctuary space, how do they rank on a scale of disrepair?
Well, they're quite deteriorated.
Yes.
Yeah, commensurate with age.
And they're 120 years old.
Yeah, right. They were original to the building. So the lead is all fatigued. If you look at the windows, they've bulged tremendously. And when the windows buckle and bulge, they come off plane, and that's when the pressure, it exerts a pressure on the glass, and that's when you start to have glass breakage. So there's probably 5 to 10% of your glass pieces you can see stress cracks in them, or some of them have even fallen right out. Mm-hmm. They've pushed outside of the lead cane that holds them in.
And we have some duct tape covering them.
Yeah, there's some Band-Aids on them to keep the cold air out. Yeah.
And so Steve first reached out to you, you said, about 5 years ago to do a quote and see would this cost us to fix? So you came through and gave us a bid.
Correct.
And what is the cost, you think?
Well, no, there's somewhere in the neighborhood of $85,000 to $90,000 worth of restoration work here. Steve made some progress on it, so we're going to do a partial bit of the work now with the hopes of completing it down the line as you get funding for them.
Yeah.
So to restore them, well, first we remove them, we stabilize them, we remove them, we put in temporary cover. Those windows get back, they all get photographed so that we understand the amount of breakage and things and document them while they're still intact. Then we take rubs of the window, much like on an acid-free paper, but like people will take a rub of a tombstone to get a name off it. Take a grease block, and that gives us a blueprint because we deconstruct it, and you kind of reverse engineer it at first you to dismantle it. You're doing a drawing, which would initially been done as a starting point. Well, now we redo that because those drawings are long gone. And then we can rebuild that blueprint.
Piece by piece.
Yes, because then the windows are going to be dismantled. Each piece is going to be individually cleaned by hand, and then it's laid out on benches and then reconstructed using all new lead. So the old lead is stripped from it. That's recycled. There's notes made on the drawings. Where breakage is, where support bars go, because the windows, people look at a stained glass window and you might see a window. These windows might be 8 foot tall, I believe. But there's windows, 25, 30 foot tall. But it's never just one window. It's always sections. But they all have to be individually supported. People don't, and stained glass tradesmen work those steel stained glass bars into the design in such a way that hopefully they don't detract from the aesthetics of the windows.
Sure.
So, but those all have to be rebuilt, made fast again, so that the window goes in. It's as new or better than new.
As an arts organization, one thing that keeps coming up when I talk to people about replacing the stained glass windows is the opportunity that it could lend to do something more creative than just replicate the windows. And what I say is that would add, I mean, already this is a project that is of, for us, just unimaginable expense, but that would add a considerable expense. Can you talk about what it would be like to start
new?
Again, yeah.
Well, it could be done, but in this instance, it presents an opportunity because the windows are at the end of their working life, their life, span. But so you ask yourself those questions. But in this instance, from my understanding of it, from Steve and Lisa at Rodriguez, is that the there's state agencies involved, and there's a historical aspect of this that won't allow latitude to change the design.
I see.
So it's
a historic preservation
issue. It is. And I understand that as well. I've worked on many, buildings where you're trying to preserve the integrity of the original thought and design.
Sure.
I understand your mission here is different than the original mission for this building. I can understand that desire. But I don't think it's been discussed. I don't think it's really an option for you just yet. But there might be some things you can do we're trying to think of some simple overlays or something that might silhouette that can give you
added meaning.
Perhaps. Yeah. Kind of investigate. Something that could be put on, taken off that doesn't interfere with the original design, but will aesthetically might give you a little different look. So we're exploring some ideas. Many times windows are memorialized. So the original people, churches used to be built, and it was a tremendous pooling of resources sure. to build them back then. We think money's tight today, but a lot of these churches were literally built on nickels and dimes and dollars, you know, that were contributed by the congregations, the parishioners. So a lot of times what we'll do if the windows, you know, if someone had a name on it, there's a someone that was honored, and you want to respect that. You want to preserve that. So a lot of times if they and if they have the latitude to change the design, sometimes we've taken those inscriptions out and made them into just simple hangers that can be put in within another window. Mm. So they're not lost to posterity, but preserved, but then and then come up with a new design for the window if they really want to change the whole theme.
Interesting. Yeah, we are actively seeking contributors who can help invest in the new windows and might also be named so we can acknowledge their contribution.
Yeah, that's an awfully nice idea. When the community comes together or you have some sponsorships and things like that, it's nice to recognize people's contribution because, you know, and a lot of times one thing we've talked about, and I think as an option is, you know, you put a little plaque, a brass plaque underneath it. So the people look at it and can reflect and say, this was done out of the generosity, you know, of such and such a group or
family
such and such a
person. Honor of somebody
that's
who might not be with
well,
us
and
anymore.
That's because that's kind of how the windows were built from scratch sometimes, you know. It took that kind of, wherewithal to bring the resources together. It's being done again.
Yeah. So if you're listening and that's something that is of interest to you, you can email bromley@mediasanctuary.org or give us a call here at the Sanctuary, 518-272-2390. I want to know, I think stained glass restoration is a really fascinating trade. It's certainly a project that people around here are excited about. What's an aspect of it that surprises people when you talk to them?
Well, a lot of times people are looking at windows, you know, in churches, which is the majority of the work we do. They've been under the spell of those windows since childhood. You know, they've performed their religious rites under them, marriages, first communions, baptisms. And the windows are kind of a quiet, they watch over things in a quiet manner, you know, but we're all fascinated by it. Stained glass has it was meant in medieval times, of course, to tell a story of the Bible most of the time, because most people were illiterate, so there was reason to illustrate that in such a way that people could understand the stories. As it's moved on, though, and the origin of stained glass is really something that isn't nailed down exactly, but there's a lot of thoughts on it, but color has an impact on our minds, and it affects... In a sense, they wanted the spirituality. When you were in a church, a sanctuary, and you retain that name here, which is great. It was a sanctuary, is a place of peace, you know, of protection and a sacred space, you know, to some degree. So in a church, of course, they wanted inspiration every way you looked, you know. So the stained glass created a visual picture for us, and the color has an impact on your mind. There's many times, you know, I have people, no matter what your religious beliefs are, you walk into a church that has beautiful stained glass and you can't help but feel the hair go on the back of your neck, you know, kind of just creates like an ooh sound, you know, like you feel it. It's like good organ music, too. So in churches, you had the organ for sound. You had the stained glass for sight. You had the incense, you know, for smell. Everything was meant to help you communicate and get in a spiritual feeling. So, you know, and they've proven, you know, 200 years ago or 500 years ago, they couldn't prove the effect of stained glass and color on people's minds, but now they can. They can actually quantitatively measure what goes on in your brain when you're exposed to color. And it so it does have an impact on us. That's proven. And, you know, you can always feel it and not quantitatively know that it does it, but now they can quantify it. So people are always kind of... They appreciate their windows and when we take them out is when all of a sudden there's a clamor, you know, for people who might not have been in on the imminence of a restoration project, and all of a sudden they come Sunday and the window's gone. Then you hear from them,
right? You notice the absence.
Yeah, they notice the absence the most, you know, and because they do. They sit there quietly, just doing their thing, you know, watching over us. You know, it's interesting. You know, I've had windows in some of these churches that have been around for 100 years. You know, they were there through the turn of the last century, you know, World War I, World War II, all the conflicts our country's been in. And you think that people sat underneath them and said their prayers and reflected on things. You know, they give comfort is kind of a nice thing for people in the trade. I don't know. You feel when you're restoring something like that, it
has meaning.
It pays you in dividends other than just the job, for sure. We've been doing it now since 1898, so it's kind of neat.